was very discouraged about this proposal. I think that lingered from a huge sentiment in our community that we should have adopted a contractor who was local. But instead of quibbling over this little bit of budget, I think it's really important to inject some words that really matter to the money here. Kefouri and McDougall. We're talking about pennies compared to the money that you pay out every time you kill and injure one of our citizens. So while we want to spend the money responsibly, let's look at this whole budget in the context of the expense of doing crappy policing and as an investment in bringing an end to problem policing. So the fact that we have 15 of 20 original COAB members still needing support from somebody who's going to go from a $10,000 job to a $60,000 job doesn't really reflect poorly on even Rosenbaum and Watson, that I'm not that enthused about, but it just shows us the scope of how intractable this problem is, the fact that it's been going on in Portland for a long time, and that this could be a very good investment. When we have 15 original COAB members who feel a little unsupported and frazzled, and they say they can do a better job if we find 50 grand to have a better coordinating program person, it's probably a good investment. Put them in an office back at the community center out in the 160s. Rosewood, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's take the next folks.
The last two signed up are Nancy Newell and Michelle Munt.
Okay, come on up.
How are you?
Afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Nancy Newell, longtime activist in our community on many issues, and very concerned about the quality of policing in this city, and very much in the belief it can be corrected in many ways, and much more open discussion and transparency will take place. The venues that I've worked in are free trade agreements, labor protests. I've been trained as a Portland Peace Team member. I'm very familiar with de-escalation of critical situations where people are trying to communicate and can't communicate because things escalate as they're talking. And since we've had Judge DeMunis depart, I must give you a better characterization of how community members have felt since we have new leadership on the collaborator, facilitator role. And I have actually experienced bullying from Kathleen Sadat. And I don't think that's appropriate for an official in that position. And it was concerning a book Sam Walker wrote about police accountability. This team, you've got to be very proud of this community because they are working, studying, trying to figure out what other cities are doing, looking at Seattle's methods. We're not the first. Seattle has instituted a lot of these practices already. So this effort can learn a lot from other, and people want to. And the distribution of the book was stopped to co-op members, and they were called public officials. So it was over the value and was donated by very well-meaning citizens and hardworking citizens that make very, very considerable international efforts to have police brutality not part of a community. And so I was confronted over that issue. I have people that on the COAB that have been confronted. I have had experiences where she comes in after Judge DeMunis has departed in her role, and a lot of people don't even know her, and here we're trying to build trust. And her manner of taking over a committee is pretty much at times very forceful. So I don't know what can be done about that. I don't know how you handle a situation like that. But let me remind you that it's our money that's making all this possible. We want to be treated better. We've got wonderful people in this community. They have mental health issues, some of them. We can do a lot better than we're doing. This is not acceptable, and we've lost five people since Judge DeMunis has left. I think you should look into this before you make any budget agreement and carefully analyze whether you're getting the results you want, if you really want trust in the community and you want to advance this. We are advancing, but I think a lot of people put in a lot of time, like has been mentioned, and I think we can do a lot better. And that book has now gotten circulated to 100 people in our community, and some of those are COAB members, because a used book, as you circulate it, loses value, so it fits every agenda. The state is more value than the city for some reason, but we solved that problem. So I don't agree with some of Ms. Sadat's efforts to communicate because she really creates a wall. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else wants to speak this afternoon? Any further questions or discussion?
So I just had one question relating to where the meetings of the COAB are held and
Come on back.
Difference between meeting downtown versus the east side or sort of generally the decision-making process about where the COAB meets. Could you illuminate that for me a bit?
I will defer to Catherine.
Most recently, they've been held at PCC Cascade. The problem has been, when I came on in June, we were meeting at a church, Montebello Villa Church, where it was hot, dark, no air conditioning. We wanted to get out of there. To be able to acquire a space big enough for us has required a lot of work, a lot of research. And we have moved the meeting several times. We're hoping to find a place, and we hope it may be PCC Cascade, to be able to permanently have the COAB meetings. Now, the subcommittee meetings are different, and they are held based on what the subcommittee wants to do, what room they want to use.
And the benefit of PCC Cascade is it's got parking, it's got public transportation. And is there a theater space there?
There's a theater space. There's space for the club itself. There's ability to hook up the electronics that let us communicate with the public. It's air conditioned. It has room out in the vestibule for people to come and have some semblance of dinner before the meeting starts. It's easy in and out. It's accessible, wheelchair accessible.
You need any help from us to make that a permanent arrangement?
Let me talk to Mandy and Amy, and I'll let you know. I think it would be great, but, you know, I do have some concerns about it being here and staying there forever and not getting somewhere else. At the same time, people seem to prefer knowing where the meeting's going to be and being able to get there. So we may come back to you for that.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, that's helpful.
And following up on that question, what are you thinking in terms of office space? You mentioned the requirement for a lockable office, and I know there's been discussion regarding whether it should be a city building, should not be a city building. Could you tell us your thoughts on that, please?
I don't care where the office is. If it's accessible, if it's clean and bright, if it's safe for the employees to work at night, because we do. I would like for it to be centrally located. It doesn't have to be in the Commonwealth Building. But where we are now, we have access to transportation. We have an arrangement for paid parking. We have access to printers, to copiers, to all the other things that you have as a bureaucracy, being able to do the work. If we need to move, then I would like to have all those things. I would like to have an available printer. I can't print yet because I'm working on a laptop and it's not hooked up yet. But glory be, when it is hooked up, I'll be able to print, you know, and do all the things that you can do when you work.
How many square feet do you need, do you think?
I have no idea, Nick. I don't. I'm Commissioner.
I'm not speaking for Dan, but I remember, we took out a big space for the Housing Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were able to carve out a space for the Office of Equity.
That's where they are.
That's where they are. Yeah.
That's where we are. There's a part of that.
And that doesn't work because you don't have a door?
We don't have a door where we are. There's another part of that floor that I'm looking at and recommending that we take a look at for a build-out. It's on the front side of the building. We get lots of light. It has a small conference room attached to it, which would allow for small meetings. We could still schedule meetings, larger meetings, in the other rooms. There is still some question about whether or not the perception is that the city is running the COCL COAB. It is a perception I'd like to work on because I think it doesn't do us much good if people feel negatively about that. At the same time, we need to get the work done. And the reason that when I first had this discussion, I said, no, we have to stop looking. we're putting all of our energy into looking for places and none of our energy into getting the work organized and done. So, you know, find me a place with all those amenities and maybe that would be wonderful, but I think we're never going to find the perfect place.
Where's the Department of Justice on whether or not they would? Are they requiring us to move out of city space or no?
No, they're requiring a locked door.
Right. And
I wonder whether we could address that through just a modification to the build out.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Put your name in the record, please.
Yes, sorry, Ellen Osnack from the City Attorney's Office. I'm the lead attorney on the DOJ settlement. So, this issue of finding a space has kind of taken on a life of its own, and I think Ms. Sadat particularly appreciates all of you applying your big brains right now to helping to solve this problem. There's been a lot of staff time that has gone into attempting to balance and solve these issues. Settlement agreement requires that the COGL be independent of any city office. And so what the Department of Justice is struggling with is that to the extent that we house the COGL team in a city bureau's office, they see tension there. Mm-hmm. They have no wish to continue to drag out this process and we're at a fragile state, I suppose I've heard it described that way, and so stability is important. So they're trying to work with us, but I think there are a lot of factors that we're trying to balance. So I don't have a straight answer for you about whether or not the DOJ would, approve or not approve. They're trying to work with us, but the language of the settlement agreement says that the COGL team should be independent of any city office, and they certainly are, but we are also trying to provide them the support that they need in order to get, as Ms. Sadat described, their administrative needs met, such as copiers and computers, and to make sure that the city administrative person is plugged into the city networks and processes as they support the COGL. So those are some of the factors we're trying to balance.
And I hope one of the things you're going to consider is whether you can do a little build-out at your existing space, because it is an affordable lease. It is an accessible building. And I personally like the connection with the Office of Equity there. But we also have all the hardware and all the equipment. There's conference rooms. There's a generic entrance. And I don't know. I understand why it needs to be separate, but I wonder whether someone coming to a space at the Housing Bureau and the Office of Equity would feel unwelcome or uncomfortable. I mean, for you to make that judgment.
If we take a careful look, what we need to do is just define ourselves by the space. And I think I know how we could do that. Now, whether we can get some agreement from the Housing Bureau to give up that space is a whole other question.
Ms. Sadat, you've been through this before with the Office of Human Relations and the discussions that we had with moving the Office of Equity and Human Rights downtown. I know from my own experience trying to get to a remote location that's not downtown is quite difficult on evenings and weekends and such. So it does sound to me that might be the best of a world where there's not a perfect option. I would also offer myself and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement to have some discussions with you to see if there's any other facilities that we could help make available to you.
I'm willing. I just don't want this distraction to take over what we're doing.
Right. And as you said, as long as you have this support, you're okay. So perhaps that's something that Deanna and I and others could present you with some options. And the other thought that occurs to me is that perhaps you could put that in the community survey and have it just as a minor question and a small topic for the focus groups to discuss. Are we and the DOJ actually inventing the concept that people would not come to the Office of Equity and Human Rights? I understand Mr. Handelman's concern about it not being in a police precinct. How far separate does it have to be? And that might be something to get a truth test with the survey.
Antoinette's peace group meets in the police department. It's one of the most successful and one of the best attended community groups in the city. I understand the concern. My question, when presented with it again today, was how do we start to work with the police and understand and talk with the police if we keep being separate from them? And I think that's a community discussion that needs to happen.
Also, just let me just say, there might be a sublet in that building in another space as an interim as you do the build-out, but every time you move, it's disruptive to you.
Yes.
You've got to change your mailing address. You may have to change your phone number and stuff like that. That you can't operate under those circumstances. So I would argue strongly in talking to the landlord about whether there's a build-out opportunity that meets the security needs or whether there's a sublet in the building that allows you to have access to the equipment at the Office of Equity, but maybe be a floor away. I'm not speaking for Dan, but I'm sure he agrees with me.
I'd love to take a look.
All right. That's good. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. So unless there are any further direction or questions from council, this will pass to second reading next week.
Before you gavel us out, I'd forgotten that it was going to move to second reading. I want to celebrate again the fact that we have reached a settlement with the judge in the case and to commend both Gail Superly, formerly of your office, and Dora Perry, formerly of mine, as well as Ozanak, Ms. Prosper, and the team for coming to that agreement. Otherwise, we would have had another discussion here at council today about how we should withdraw the appeal, and so I'm very glad that we have.
You're here. Thank you very much. We're setting this over for second reading next week, and we're recessed till tomorrow at 2:00. Thank you.